What is up, guys? We're back. We've got another episode of Philly Sports Deep Dive. We've got the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, the MLB season heating up, and we've also got the NFL draft. So we'll get to all that and more. Remember, if you enjoyed this episode, remember to throw me a follow, like, and leave a review. And let's get right into it. So the first topic we're going to cover is the Philadelphia 76ers. Last Wednesday, they escaped with a thrilling one-point win over the Miami Heat in the 7-8 play-in game. And there was a lot of reason for optimism after that game. The first half was awful. They scored 39 points and they could not penetrate Miami's zone defense at all. But in the second half, they showed an ability to fight back. Nico Batum with 20. Joel Embiid heated up down the stretch. And they showed that they can win when Embiid and Maxey don't have their best nights. That was encouraging, but what wasn't as encouraging was the Sixers' first game against the New York Knicks, the 2-vs-7 playoff series, which the Knicks took in a game that was close in the beginning. Then Embiid got hurt on a ridiculous self-alley-oop posterizer. Really had me scared, but he was able to return in the second half and lead the Sixers to a 14-point comeback and make it a game. But then Josh Hart finally decides to start shooting the ball well at the expense of our 76ers, and they ended up losing that game. So first, I do have some positive takeaways from that game. They were able to contain Jalen Brunson very well in that game, and they really just weren't cleaning up on the glass, and they were leaving too many open shots. But I think if they are able to contain Brunson anything like that for the rest of the series, they have a really, really good chance to win. Because if you contain Brunson like that, you force the other players on the Knicks, the role players, like DiVincenzo, OG Anunoby, and Josh Hart, you force them to beat you rather than Jalen Brunson, the MVP candidate point guard for that New York Knicks team. But the Sixers didn't. They left these players open for threes, and despite holding Jalen Brunson back, they got beat by those guys I just mentioned because they were just getting too many open looks, and all three of those guys are competent three-point shooters. They were all getting open looks. Mitchell Robinson was also doing very well in that game, so the defense had definitely its fair share of ups and downs. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, the Sixers have to find a way to do something without Joel Embiid on the floor. You can't keep him on the floor forever. And every time he was off the floor in that game, the Sixers did terrible. The plus-minus without Embiid on the floor was horrendous in that game, and that has to change. I just don't know what the Sixers are missing here. I mean, Tyrese Maxey had a very good game. He scored 33 points. But they just could not do anything without Joel Embiid on the floor. And it was a little bit concerning to see, considering that Joel Embiid is definitely hanging on by a thread here in terms of injuries. I mean, we saw him almost get injured in that game against the Knicks. But there is still reason for optimism in the 76ers team. And again, we saw it in Miami, the way they were able to come back in the second half and completely turn it around. Who's to say they can't do this in the series? They've got a game tomorrow against the Knicks. It'll be in the Madison Square Garden, which is unfortunate for the Sixers because the Madison Square Garden's was just completely electric in game one. The crowd was into it. It was pretty insane to just watch that on TV, the way the crowd was just so excited. And I mean, they are also a fan base that has just been deprived of success and also have many second-round woes in the past 20, 25 years, just like the Sixers. That fan base was truly one of a kind in that game. They were on fire, and you could see they were clearly in the Sixers' heads at the end of that game. But I do think the Sixers can bounce back. It just all depends on what they can do when Joel Embiid's not on the floor, because I think you know what you're getting out of Joel Embiid. As long as Joel Embiid cannot get injured in this game, I think we're fine. Because Joel Embiid got off to a blazing hot start in that first game, but then got injured and was a little bit slower when he came back from the injury. But I do think that the Sixers have the potential to be able to surprise the Knicks here and tie the series up 1-1 and take it to the Wells Fargo Center. If you want my prediction for the series, I'm going to give it to you right now. I think the Sixers are going to win this series in 6 games because I think they're going to do extremely well at the Wells Fargo Center, and that's where they're going to close out the series, is at the Wells Fargo Center. As long as they can split these games at Madison Square Garden here by winning the game tomorrow, then the Sixers are in very good position to be able to go to the Wells Fargo Center. They'll have some momentum on their side if they win that game, and the crowd, I know, will definitely show up to that game and be into it. And if the Sixers are able to beat the Knicks, and this is a big if, because the Knicks are a very tough team and a very talented team, and it's going to be tough to beat them, but if the Sixers are able to beat the Knicks, they have a clear path to make it to the conference finals, because you either have to go through the Indiana Pacers, or you have to go through the Milwaukee Bucks. And if you asked me who would win in 7th game series, I would take the Sixers over the Bucks and the Pacers. The Bucks, they're coached by Doc Rivers. Giannis is a bit injured. And we all know that Doc Rivers is not going to get it at that second round. His team is below 500 this year with him as the coach. It's still beyond me why the Bucks fired Adrian Griffin in favor of Doc Rivers, but that's a decision that they're going to regret and that us Sixers fans are going to have fun laughing over. And on the other side, you've got the Indiana Pacers, who have Tyrese Halliburton, who's very good, and who also have Pascal Siakam, who's very good. But outside of that, they're not really that great of a team. They have Miles Turner, who's a very solid player, but they've got guys like Mathurin and Nesmith were good, but the Pacers don't really scare anybody. We saw what they were able to do in the beginning of the season when they came out on fire and made it to the in-season tournament finals, but I just think the Sixers match up well against the Pacers because all of their best players the Sixers can go toe-to-toe with to counter Tyrese Halliburton. And we've got our own Tyrese Maxey, and they've got Siakam, we've got Joel Embiid, and I just think the Sixers have more depth than the Pacers, so I take the Sixers in a 7-game series over the Pacers as well. After that, if they were to reach the conference finals, their season would basically be over. They'd probably lose in 5 or 6 to Boston, but I would take a conference finals appearance for this season, considering what happened during it. But focusing back on this series, the Sixers have to win or at least come out strong tomorrow. You really do not want to fall into an 0-2 hole against a team like the Knicks, because the Knicks are good, and if the Sixers have no momentum on their side and they're down 0-2 in the series, what's the crowd going to think of that at the Wells Fargo Center? It could be less electric. I don't know that it would be, but we've seen Joel Embiid struggle in the playoffs in the past. Falling into an 0-2 hole would definitely not help team morale. I do trust Nick Nurse, though. I think he's the best coach the Sixers have had in the process era, and most Sixers fans agree with me on that. But the Sixers really, really need to have a good game, and they need to silence the crowd early and keep the crowd silenced. They just have to answer every single Knicks bucket with buckets of their own, which I think they are capable of doing. Because overall, I do think the Sixers are the more talented team than the Knicks. But the Knicks clearly feed off of that energy in the arena, and the Sixers just need to keep that at bay. But I do think the Sixers can still win this series. I'm not going to say anything definitive because I think it will be close and it will be tough. But I think the Sixers are still in a pretty decent position. I would have liked to see them take game one, but it's not the end of the world that they didn't. They're going to be fine. So next order of business is the Philadelphia Phillies. They picked up an 8-2 win against the Chicago White Sox today, capping off their sixth straight win in second straight series sweep against the Rockies and the White Sox. And this team's looking good. I know it's bad teams that they're playing, but the way they were able to take care of business and how the offense was really able to finally find its footing in this White Sox series was really encouraging. I feel like this is a series where the Phillies could have done well offensively, and that would kind of spark their bats to do better against better teams. And I hope that's going to be the case, because the offense was definitely very good. The scores against the White Sox of this in this series was 8-2, 9-5, and 7-0. So the offense was really heating up. And that was after the first two games against the Rockies were very low scoring, 1-2 and 5-0. And they picked it up with a 7-6 win against them to complete the sweep. And this team's looking good. We'll see how the offense fares against a better team, against the Cincinnati Reds tomorrow. But, I mean, if the Braves weren't winning at the rate that they are, the Phillies would be even closer to that top spot in the division. They're just getting unlucky because the Braves are on also a six-game winning streak. But the team's been really, really good. The pitching this year has just been fantastic. They've got five starting pitchers, and every single one of them has an ERA under 350. The highest one is Aaron Nola, who has a 316 ERA. I mean, that's just insane. Spencer Turnbull's got a 123 ERA. Zach Wheeler has a 230 ERA and is first in the league in strikeouts. Ranger Suarez is coming off of a complete game shutout and has a 173 ERA. And Christopher Sanchez has a 253 ERA. I mean, those are incredible numbers from this pitching staff. The bullpen has also been pretty solid too, which is definitely a great sign for optimism, as well as the incredible starting pitching. And also, this is without Taijuan Walker, who led the team in wins last year. Spencer Turnbull has stepped in as the replacement and has been fantastic. He's one of the top leaders in ERA this year among starting pitchers, 7th to be exact. And as a team, the Phillies have a 3.46 ERA. I mean, that's fantastic. So the offense is heating up, and the pitching is looking really, really solid. And even the guy who I had so much doubts about, Johan Rojas, he's beginning to prove me wrong. He's been hitting a lot as of late, and it's really beginning to make me second-guess what I said about him and me rather having Whit Merrifield start. Whit Merrifield did have a home run against the White Sox in that game, too, where Alec Boehm had two home runs. I'm sorry, game one of that series. But simply put, Whit Merrifield hasn't hit this year, and Johan Rojas has. He started out bad, but Thompson kept on playing him, and credit to him, because he was able to bounce back and is having a pretty nice season, batting .264 now. But he has no home runs and only two RBIs, so I still would like to see more at-bats from Whit Merrifield, because I do think, overall, he's probably still the better option offensively. I just think that the defense is a little too overvalued with Johan Rojas. I know he's a great defender, but in baseball, offense wins championships, not defense. Pitching could win you a championship, but not defense. Because the difference between Marsh in center field and Rojas in center field, if we're talking about how much of a plus they're adding to the team, it's not that much of a difference, because it's not like any extra runs are being scored when Marsh is out there. I mean, when we're talking about two good fielders, with one being obviously a lot better than the other, but the other still being good, it's not like we're talking about Kyle Schwarber, who's just a liability in the field and does cost you runs. Marsh is not a liability there, and neither is Merrifield, so I do not really want to see Rojas out there as much as he is. I would rather see Merrifield out there a little bit more, but I do think Rojas still does deserve playing time. I guess what I'm implying now is that I would rather a more even platoon. Even though I'm typically against platoons, it seems like that's the best course of action right now for the Phillies. But that's just petty talk because the Phillies' offense is just looking really good all around. The only consistent players who are in that lineup every day who aren't really producing are Scott and Castellanos. Castellanos still without a run hitting, without a home run hitting under 200. And Scott has just not been producing and he's not hitting the ball like he was last year. I do think those guys will find their footing eventually. I'm hoping we don't have another 2022 Nick Castellanos year where you're only at 13 homers. But a lot of optimism around this Phillies team. I mean, they look really, really good, and they could even contend for the division. That's how good they look. Because the Braves also look good, but the Phillies are basically going toe-to-toe with them in everything. And the Phillies have the arguably better pitching staff, while the Braves have the arguably better offense. Like, this could be a legitimately close race for the division. That's how good the Phillies look. I mean, at 14-8, they are so much better now than they were in this spot last year and 2 years ago. I mean, 6 games over .500, they didn't get to that point until June or July last year. It's really been great to watch to see this team finally get off to a hot start. And playing these two bad teams definitely help. Again, we'll see what they're really made out of when they play the Reds in a 4-game set starting tomorrow at Great American Ballpark. But a lot of confidence in this Philadelphia Phillies team. So, I'll get into a little bit on the NFL draft, but I've already voiced my opinions on this, and I'm not a huge expert when it comes to outside of the Big Ten players in college football. I mean, I don't really follow defensive players that much, but they gotta go secondary in the first round. You either gotta trade it if you're making a big trade, or you gotta go secondary, because that secondary was in shambles last year. You also have to look for a linebacker on day two, and maybe a backup tight end or wide receiver, but you don't want to waste your early round picks on offense, because your offense is not the problem and will be good this year. I think they just have to address the defense. You have to give Vic Fangio something to work with here, and you have to give some of these guys like Bradley Roby and Josh Jobe some breaks, because they should not be playing as much as they did last year. And then lastly, before we end this episode, I just want to briefly touch up on the Philadelphia Flyers. Like I predicted in the last episode, they were not able to make a miracle comeback and make the playoffs. And it's a shame. But still a lot of optimism for this team. A lot better season than they were expecting to have. And I think next year, with more experience under their belts, this young core won't succumb to the pressure like they did this season. I have optimism in the future for the Flyers. I guess this just wasn't their year. Tough late season collapse. You hate to see it on a team that so many young players, but it happens. And I'm not all too fed up about how the season ended. I mean, they fought till the very end, and they weren't going to make the playoffs anyway, even if they won that Capitals game, because the Detroit Red Wings had just gone to overtime with the Canadiens on a goal with 5 seconds to go in regulation, and that had already sealed the Flyers' playoff fates. But I'm not all that mad about it. It's just what happened, and we'll get another crack at it next year with more experience under our belts, and hopefully the Flyers will be able to break through, make the playoffs, and start working towards building a championship-caliber team. So, that's going to do it for today's episode on Philly Sports Deep Dive. I hope you enjoyed. I mean, this episode is a lot shorter than some of the other ones I've had in the past, but, I mean, really not that much to talk about. I'm basically just saying what everyone else is saying, giving my own opinions on it, but I hope you enjoyed. Make sure to leave a like, or leave a review, and throw me a follow on this show, and I will see you guys in the next episode.